Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The hair looks good. I wouldn't have known.
I've had plenty of people that are like, you got your hair cut. Yeah, I do it my own. Like, the whole fading and everything. Like, the lining up. And yeah.
Cut your hair. So, like, I mean, on top, though, when you trim it with the scissors, how do you do that?
The same way that a barber would do that.
So I imagine you're looking in the mirror the whole time, right?
Well, I do have a mirror in front of me.
How do you know? I mean, you can't see the top of your head. How do you know you're getting, you know, a different clump of hair each time to
it's a
cut
feel.
The right? It's a feel thing?
It's a feel. Yeah, because when you have a clump that you pull it up between the fingers, you don't cut the whole thing. You cut about halfway through, and then you pull up another clump, and then that will be missing, you know, will be a little bit lower, so then you know exactly where you're cutting with that clump, too. I've cut my own hair since I was, like, 19. So
I think
it's
about shaving my head myself
a lot of
experience every few months.
Of being able to look in the mirror and then another mirror and be able to line up the back of your hair.
That right there seems like that is both the highest risk, highest reward moment and the reason that I just don't.
It's easy. It is now. I mean, it might not have been
easy. Around the back of your ears and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I do that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we were talking about, I didn't realize you were supposed
to. You
do like,
a good job. I've never noticed any.
I appreciate it.
Sort of.
Me neither.
Kind of bad.
Yeah, I'm kind of a
crop circles, nothing like
it
that.
It sucks while it cuts. Well, it certainly does suck. I didn't realize you were supposed to tip the barber or the hairdresser or whatever. Because I had cut my own hair for a long time. And then I had started going to a different place when I was in Louisville, and I had just simply paid.
They charged you a cost? You paid it?
I paid it. I was unaware of this common cultural payment tip on top of that.
They didn't give you the option to tip, like on your receipt or something like that? Or
I don't know. I just signed it.
Back then, they probably didn't have the kiosk. They spin around.
Yeah, I just signed it because somebody had asked like that day, like, oh, well, how much do you typically tip? I'm like, how much do I what? For what? For what do you mean? How much did it cost? Or how much? Well, how much did? Am I supposed to? I didn't. Like, yes, of course you are. It was like I was just totally ignorant to this because I never tipped myself. I would always pay myself like the $25.
Sure.
You know, hey, here's $25.
Pat yourself on the back with the mirror to make sure you hit the.
That's exactly right. And then when I moved back here to KC, then I went and hung out with my buddy Lemos at Midwest Barbery, and
did you tip him?
Yes,
cheap
I did because then I knew that I was supposed to be tipping him, so I was aware.
Standard 1%, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The tip was he gets to be my friend.
I'm going to say your name on the radio, okay?
Yes, here's your tip. Why are you charging me for this haircut? I'm talking about this later on. Oh, wait, because if you don't charge me, it's illegal. I swear he's charging me full price. He actually did, but I love him.
He did, though, but now you're cutting your own hair again. So you guys have a falling out? Or
no,
you're back to cutting your own hair?
Right, because of COVID,
I just went back
to cutting my own hair, and then I'm like, well, now I'm just going to keep doing that. I do miss him, though.
Isn't that the only time you talk to him?
Well, we talk from time to time, but he's got a full-time job. I got a full-time job and kids. But I used to, when I would come, I just go down there and hang out at the barbershop.
Would you cut, like, other people's hair in college and stuff?
My son's. That's the only, I cut my son's hair.
Wow.
That's it.
Not your daughter's?
No. No chance.
She cuts her own.
Yes, she does. Look, I cut it. Yay. All right.
Gotta start somewhere.
I don't have bangs anymore.
No, my sister-in-law cuts her hair. But doesn't cut it though. It's just like, oh, let's cut off the dead ends of this particular hair. As you would know, Mick, in dealing with those things. So no, I cut my hair. I cut my son's hair. You know, he's got the hard part. He's got the fade. You know,
so
everything.
The hard part.
Oh yeah. Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a hard part?
I have actually. Oh, I have had a hard part.
Kind of dirty. You want to take a shower? Like, this is not me.
No, I didn't like it.
Do you feel like Nate Buchanan?
No, God, that'd be so cool.
He's a hard parter.
Oh man,
we got to get you like just like some racing stripes in the side next time. Just go ahead and add it. See how you feel. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, a little Bosworth, maybe a lightning bolt.
I'm going to do that next time. I mean, I'm due for hair. I'd like to cut it today, but I got other things going on. But next week when I cut my hair, should I put the Z?
Cut your own hair.
Oh, it's about 35, 40 minutes total.
Oh, it's a while.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's, wow. Well, I'm just kind of OCD when it comes to, which is why you're like, oh, it doesn't look like you actually cut your. Well, yes, because I don't just go quickly through it. Yeah. I mean, it's going to look like this for the next, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, unless I really mess it up. Then,
yeah, what's the worst you've ever messed it up? Do you have a plan for messing it up, like where you just go real short, or have you never really suffered that fate?
No, knock on wood. But then
I hope you come in bald next week.
Just shave it. You know, just take it all off. Guess what? It's probably going to grow back. Probably,
weird thing is he goes to a barber for a shave, though. He's never
weird. It's
face.
Strange.
Oh, straight razor shave. Yeah. Oh, yes. I only do that. I do not
I've seen too many
shave.
Mafia movies
know,
to
right?
do that. Your throat slashed.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's odd when you're laying back and they've got the straight razor on your throat.
On your throat.
It is a weird feeling when that happens. But if you want to get that straight razor shave, go to Midwest Barbie with my buddy Lemos.
Another great reason to leave a good tip.
That's exactly right. Next time you show back.
Leave a good tip, because Jason ain't doing it. Yeah.
Yep.
I am now.
Line up my beard here, and I'm going to tip you 200% today, just a reminder.
Luckily, it was only the one time. I had found out pretty quickly that was the case. So now I know.
I couldn't. I'm impressed. I couldn't come close to cutting my own hair.
That's the first time Mick's
no
ever been impressed.
Not this.
That yourself.
No, not this. No, I've cut other people's hair. My mom has cut my hair. I have.
Wow.
But I have been very nervous to cut my own. I even make Renee do the lineup on the back sometimes, just shave the back of my neck.
Do
I don't like
yourself?
Having. I'm afraid to try and then to leave like a chunk in the middle or something. But you've really inspired me today.
You ever gone in reverse in your car?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you do know how to look through a mirror.
The fire
and
hydrants
things.
On my street are barely there anymore at this point. My bumper is obliterated.
I bet it is. Mick Schaefer is our guest. Let's hear from Brett Yormark.
How's your bumper, Mick?
Oh, man.
Obliterated?
It's obliterated, man. I can barely walk.
KU is taking on Houston in a game down in Mexico City in Big 12 Mexico that is being announced. And Brett Yormark explains that it's a conference game, but also not a conference game, but yet it is a conference game, but not a conference game. He'll explain.
It's obviously a conference game, but it's not going to go against the conference record. Based on... the format and scheduling that we'll probably speak more about here, you know, in the near future. Certain teams are going to, from a conference perspective, are going to play other conference members twice and others once. In the case where you're only playing an opponent in the conference once, we are going to have some other opportunities for those for a second game, like Mexico City. It won't count against the conference record, but it will be obviously effectively a conference game.
So there you go. It is obviously a conference game because these two teams are in the same conference, but it will not count as a conference game in the standings.
Yeah,
so
I got that.
If KU and Houston end with the same record, well, I guess the tiebreaker would be then. Well, there are no tiebreakers in the Big 12 and all of that stuff, but you get the point. Or what about this?
There's tiebreakers. Well, for seeding.
For seeding,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But you would get the Big
Trophy,
12 champion. Let's look at it this way. What if Houston beats KU in Mexico City and then finishes one game behind KU in the standings in the Big 12? You know what they would be? Second place, apparently.
Yeah. Because so is this a friendly?
It's a friendly, great call. Yes,
that's great.
I'm still trying to figure this stuff out, but that sounds kind of what I understand a friendly is.
But it's a friendly, but counts as a game. With,
it's not a conference game.
Yeah, with your NCAA tournament resume.
Yeah, so, it's a non-con, con, long con. Because by the end of the year, it's going to seem
it's
like
a non-con, con.
Yeah. Brett Yormark explains why Mexico City.
The sport is so global now, basketball, and basketball will be a catalyst for us as we think about international expansion and building our brand. And you only have one chance to launch a new initiative. And for us at the conference, it was critically important to have two of our biggest and most profound basketball brands kind of breaking into the marketplace. And thanks to Travis and the coaches at Kansas, you know, for them to raise their hand and sign up, you know, to be a part of what I think will be a very, very special moment. And, you know, basketball really resonates in that marketplace. If you see the success the NBA has had, you know, they've been there, I think, since 2011 or 12 and have had enormous amount of success. In fact, when I was the CEO of the Brooklyn Nets. I brought the Nets there in 2016. So as Travis said, world-class venue, 22 million people in Mexico City. And I think it's going to serve as a wonderful student-athlete experience. And also seating our brand there, not just for recruitment, but also for enrollment. You know, two of our institutions currently have offices in Mexico, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. So it's a natural opportunity for us, just given, you know, the geographic footprint of the Big 12. So excited that Kansas has raised their hand, and I think it's going to be a special moment for us.
I do love the being able to sort of play both sides of that for Brett Yormark. In that, you know, we're starting this thing with two of our bigger brands in basketball in KU and Houston. And also, one of our institutions, Oklahoma, has a... so you can claim both of them, I guess, for like 6 months.
Exactly. There'll be an overlap there. It's a small little overlap.
That's right. But Oklahoma, I didn't know Oklahoma and Oklahoma State had offices in Mexico.
I had no idea. And why don't the Texas schools that it just left over?
Like, we're close enough already in proximity.
That's another thing I love, because what have we heard the last 10, 15 years? It is all about football, okay? Mm-hmm. It's about football stadiums, football teams, football facilities, all of that stuff. But what about... No, you can't even say basketball. Don't say basketball. Don't do it. No other sports. You can't care about any other sports. He's like, look, basketball, might, you know, in the States, it might be a, you know, second place by a long ways, but guess what? Internationally, it's not. We're going to go international. We're going to find ways to make money with a sport other than football.
You know what's a bigger sport internationally than American football?
It is.
Is basketball.
It is.
Oh,
yeah, that makes sense.
Basketball's a bigger sport.
I wonder, do they play... They play soccer in any other countries besides ours? Could they make some money off that?
They play football in other countries, so they don't play soccer in any other countries. The NBA's even talking about going U.S. versus the world in the All-Star game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because now you're seeing so many freaking All-Star world players. But Adam Silver said it's something that they will be discussing if that format, instead of the drafting format.
Unless Jokic is from Florida, then...
Because you've got a number of MVPs here recently, but you know they've gone the format to draw interest of drafting players and having the draft then televised and all of that stuff. But it would be interesting, the USA versus the world.
Do they do that in the hockey?
I think they do some other
All-Star game.
I also wonder if it's U.S. versus the world, how much does that increase maybe the competitiveness of some of the players going like, you know, no, actually the world has better basketball. No, this is where it started. This is the, instead of like, oh, let's draft these guys and go have some fun. It's like, no, you play for the world, and it'd be bragging rights for the world players versus the U.S. players.
I'm telling you, Dream Team, you know, it goes down as this great American team, and it was... They probably did more for the rest of the world for basketball. Yes. they saw, okay, this is how far we've got to go, and they did, and they've caught up.
It's been unbelievable. What is it, 5 years or 3 years in a row that a foreign-born player has been an NBA MVP? And it happened like twice in the entire NBA history before these last 3 years?
Embiid this year, and then Jokic.
And Giannis.
Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis. And there was like twice in NBA history before these last three players that have been NBA MVPs.
Dirk and Nash did it three consecutive years because Nash went back-to-back. I'm trying to see if
Nash won two?
Sure did.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize Nash
I forgot
won two.
This also. He was born in South Africa.
Yeah.
So he was.
Yeah. But
man,
I think
Steve Nash has two MVPs. How many does Shaq have? Oh, he's got just the one? Oh, that's weird. Yeah, Nash is definitely a better player than Shaq.
That's what I've been saying.
We should always focus on MVPs. Let's hear from Travis Goff as he weighs in. Why? Are they on board with Mexico City?
It's multifaceted. I think any of the institutions can see the need to not just help expand the Big 12 brand, but really each institutional brand. We know the world's gotten smaller and smaller all the time. We know both the market of Mexico itself more broadly, Hispanic populations in general. When we think about every state in the U.S. and certainly Texas, Oklahoma, and of course in the state of Kansas, we think there's a student recruitment opportunity. We think in particular that the sport of basketball resonates at a really high level. There are millions upon millions of basketball fans in that country and in the Mexico City proper. And then the last thing I'd say, Henry, is it's really great from a student athlete experience perspective. We get a chance in December of 24 to bring a group of men and young women to a place in which I would venture to guess none of them have been to. They're going to get some cultural immersion and education that they otherwise wouldn't have received. They're going to get a chance to make a difference in the community in all likelihood, and they're going to learn and grow through that experience. And, of course, play in a world-class arena in front of a crowd of what we think will be 20,000-plus.
It makes total sense for KU to volunteer to be a part of this, to head down to Mexico City and do that. And that doesn't even count as the foreign trip also for some of these teams. I guess because the foreign trip would be over the summer, so of course it doesn't count for the foreign trip. But now that is now rounding out their non-conference schedule with Houston in Mexico City. And then also, was that? I guess I totally missed the part. Is it this year or next year? Like even when
it'll be 24, 20, December of 20, December of 24.
Yes.
So right before the conference season starts, right. Not this season, but next season.
Next year. Yes. So
and then that bowl game would be the 26,
right? Because they're talking about that season makes total sense. And 26 and or whatever, just, or the 26th season of that. And if it goes over into January.
Look, I know it's the biggest country in Latin America, but it's just one of many. I mean, traveling down, I've been to Jamaica a couple times, the Dominican, been mm-hmm. to Haiti, and I always talk, with locals about the sports, and basketball is the number two sport down there after baseball. It's hoops. It's ahead of soccer in a lot of those, maybe not in Mexico, but on a lot of those Caribbean isles, basketball is so big. Bahamas.
Yeah,
I mean, you've seen great players like Buddy Hield come from there, and mm-hmm. Some others, and so I think it's kind of a brilliant idea. Kind of one's like, wait, why wasn't this done beforehand?
Yeah, and to me, it's like when we're talking about Pac-12 teams that I had mentioned earlier in the show that the Pac-12 teams have agreed to go to dinner, but they want the country to think that they're getting married. And all they've done is, or at least maybe they don't want the country, the higher-ups at the Pac-12 want the media members that cover the Pac-12 to then release information that says they're actually getting married, even though they're just going to dinner together, because they have agreed verbally in a grant of rights for the conference, contingent upon when/if the TV contract deal is done. That is a whole lot of heavy lifting by a lot of different words there that is being presented as, see, Big 12, you're not getting the Pac-12 teams anymore because they're going to give up a grant of rights. Yeah, and when the Big 12 team sat down after Colorado and Nebraska went elsewhere, they all sat in a room and said, we are totally committed to everybody in this room. All right, adjourned. Big Ten, are you guys still open? SEC, are
like
you guys still open?
Session meeting, hey, right? Pac-12,
Pac-12, are you guys still open right now? No, we would absolutely love to come. Can we have the Longhorn Network though? We can't. Well, let's work this out. Let's keep the line of communication. What's that? No. We're good. Right here. We are right here. Big 12. That is what it's all about. We are Big 12 right now. To hell with Nebraska and Colorado. Hold on, I got to take this call real quick. That's what the Pac-12 is going through right now. We have agreed verbally to a grant of rights when and if a TV contract is done, when the Big 12's already taken care of theirs and ESPN, and ESPN has already said they're not getting involved in the negotiations with the Pac-12, yeah, that they're out.
Like, I can just see that them talking with the TV execs saying, okay, if you guys are together, we'll give you a TV deal. That's right. We will be together after a TV deal. No. This is the other way around. If you guys are together, we'll give you a TV. That's right. After you give us that TV deal, we'll be together.
Totally going to stay together, depending
okay,
on exactly
like one's the cart, one's the horse, but we're on different.
This horse is actually this horse actually has a broken leg, and the cart is pulling.
Right.
I don't know what's pulling the cart, but the cart is actually pulling the horse. It is odd, but yeah, like I do appreciate some in the media around the Pac-12 that are like, see, told you, it was never a question. Yeah, because that's why Colorado. Was it Colorado or Arizona that after these meetings then said, but we also have a responsibility to do what's in the best interest of this university, which is exactly what some in the Big 12 said those meetings, that it was, we're all in this together. And then publicly, yes, but we also have to do what's in the best interest of insert team here. Well, I thought we just agreed that everybody was in this together. Oh, yeah, we are. Unless this conference calls, I mentioned in the first hour, the old Chris Rock bit, that a man is only as dedicated or as loyal as his options, you know, as the bit that he had. Like, these schools are only as loyal to their conference as their options are. Florida State and Clemson are only loyal to the ACC because contractually and monetarily they can't leave, or they would have left already. But they can't give up their grant of rights for the next 10 years, and it would be detrimental to, you know, what they can do financially. But if they could leave right now, they would not be in the ACC. It is a marriage by contract with those teams in the ACC right now. They don't want to be there. And there are some teams in the Pac-12 that maybe don't want to be there either. Like, the Pac-12 isn't going to lose USC and UCLA and then say, hey, Colorado and Utah and the Arizonas, stay here with this deal that we believe you might actually be taking less than what you're making right now. But don't worry, we're going to add San Diego State. It's a little bit what the Big 12 is going through, and it was like, oh, you lost Oklahoma and Texas, but you're going to add BYU, mm-hmm. Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston. Cool. Nice job. Well, if they're going to get to 16, they might add the four corners of the Pac-12, four-corner schools in the Pac-12. Or they could go and add in, you know, UConn. They took a site visit to Memphis. How much that does for, you know, them. I mean, there's the odds out at bookies.com of the odds of the Big 12 expansion teams. Number one odds on favorite is Colorado at plus 250 with an implied probability of just around 30%.
I love that implied probability.
It's great, right? Arizona's plus 400. Memphis plus 650 because, you know, these odds
really?
These odds come out the day after they take a site visit to Memphis. The Big 12 does with Brett Yormark and others and the Big 12 dignitaries. San Diego State plus 750, UConn plus 850, Louisville plus 1,000, Arizona State plus 1,200, Utah plus 1,200, even though it's in a kind of Colorado-Utah has been talked about in Arizona. And then the field, that's the Field University, TFU, is plus 800. or is it the Field College? I'm not sure. TFC.
If you got the Arizonas and Colorado and one more, and that would get you to 16, right?
So Colorado, Utah, and the Arizonas?
Yeah, but although I've heard, I mean, it's Utah, BYU thing, they don't want to be in the same conference, or is that a thing?
That is true.
Yeah.
That Utah doesn't want to.
But if they did, or throw in a San Diego State, whoever, I mean.
But it's also like the Pac-12 doesn't want religious institutions in their conference, so that's one of the reasons why BYU is never going to join the Pac-12. That's just one of the things that they want to avoid.
Yep.
So whether it's Utah and getting the Holy War back with Utah and BYU or not, whether they'd be on board with that. But I would say that, hey, Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State are coming to the Big 12. Don't worry, Utah. You don't have to go.
Yeah.
You don't have to go. You can stay in the Pac-12 because Washington and Oregon are going to head to the Big 10. But enjoy San Diego State. It should be fun. Boise's probably available. You do that, Utah.
I think that would be more than coming out ahead with Oklahoma and Texas leaving. It'd be replacing quality with quantity, right? But it'd be a lot of quality. I mean, the Arizona schools would be huge. You throw in the four that are coming in that bring a lot of their own cachet. Is it Oklahoma level in talent? Maybe not. Is it Texas level in reputation? Hell no. And certainly talent, it's up there with Texas. But, I mean, I think they would come out ahead. You'd get to 16 before anybody else, or now I guess at the same time as everybody else.
Yeah, because the SEC and the Big Ten are at 16, the ACC
Big
is
Ten
at
would be at, yeah, okay, Big Ten would be at 16 with USC and UCLA, and then SEC. But I mean,
Pac-12 would be
you're
at like
right
six,
there, and so, but I mean, you've firmly in numbers wise, you'd be equal to Big Ten and SEC, and you would firmly establish yourself as the third conference. Which I think would be great for the Big 12 right now, because for a while it was number five.
And for a while it was just wait until somebody else gets picked apart, you dissolve.
Because you're right here in the middle, and all these coastal conferences, along with the Big 10, they're just going to pick you apart. It's taken a while. I mean, it's taken over a decade here, and it's taken a kind of a visionary here with Brett Yormark, but I just love the direction they're going.
If the Big 12 gets those four corner schools from the Pac-12, Colorado, Utah, and the Arizonas, if they end up with those schools, Oklahoma and Texas, in a roundabout way, could have saved the Big 12. Because the Pac-12 was going to try to take teams from the Big 12. Mm-hmm. But when Oklahoma and Texas left, USC and UCLA then said, we're getting on board with this. We're going to the Big 10. And then the Pac-12 started falling apart, which then opened the West for the Big 12 because the Big 12 was landlocked. The Pac-12 is now landlocked in having an ocean to their left and the Big 12 that's strong and it has a better TV deal than the Pac-12 can get.
And you, the door opening to the West cracked open too with bringing BYU to the conference. And that's another
absolutely.
Piece.
No doubt about that. Yeah. But in a strange way, like Oklahoma and Texas leaving, which then had a ripple effect of USC and UCLA going, we're not going to be left behind in this Pac-12. With these teams doing that, we're going to the Big Ten. This is going to be, you know, across the country. And now all of a sudden, the Big 12 can add these four schools. Like, it's amazing.
I'm trying to think. Would they be in all four time zones, or they wouldn't be in the Pacific?
They would have.
Arizona doesn't do daylight saving time, so they would be for like 4 months.
Yeah,
or 8 months they would be in the. Pacific time zone.
But even if they didn't cover all of those specific time zones, they would have every single TV network time slot available. That the late night Pac-12 games can now be a late night Big 12 game. You would have the early morning 11, and you would have the late night 9:30, you know, kickoff.
I mean, look, ideally, I would love the old Big 12, old Big 8. I love just the teams around here, geographical. Mm-hmm. That's not the reality. So in this reality, that seems ideal.
Stability.
Yeah.
It's stability in a world that is lacking thereof, especially with this conference for the last 13, 14 years or whatever. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We will continue rolling. The Royals back in action in Baltimore. I do want to play one quick clip from Wednesday's game from Matt Quatrero that we can talk about a little bit. And then we got the cuts before this show is over. More Zone rolling along on this Friday edition. NBA Game 4 coming up tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 coverage, 6:30. Tip off around 7:30. More Zone next.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So we've got a programming adjustment that I need to correct because I said that NBA pregame is going to start at 6:30. That's not going to happen. Okay, we're going to join the NBA Game 4 Finals around 7:30 because we've got something else going on tonight. Josh, what's taking place around 6 o'clock?
We will be out at Legends Field for Marquez Valdez-Scantling's charity softball game.
Awesome.
I'll be out there. Sterling Holmes will be out there. We're going to have a whole bunch of the 810 crew. Steven will be out there. I think you can see him in stadium throughout the events. But me and Stu will be live here starting at 6 and going up until about tip-off of the NBA game.
So are you going to just be like walking around the softball field? Is it going to be like mic'd-up players? Where
I keep hoping that they're just going to let me play. I have not been invited. So in the absence of me getting to hold a bat, I'll probably be holding a microphone of some sort and trying to talk to a bunch of the Chiefs that are going to be out there. The list is long, and expect to see a ton of members of both sides of the ball, offense versus defense, although they have like twice as many offensive players who are there right now, so I don't know how that's going to play out
who
in the game.
Who does the list start with?
Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Let me see.
It's his deal, but it doesn't start with him.
LeVon?
I think that Sterling Holmes. No, I'm sorry. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Mahomes, not Holmes. That makes sense.
I did like the story that
Sterling Mahomes and Sterling Holmes might be at the same place.
They should both be there.
I did love the story that Sterling told of Big Slick because he was working the big event in the auction. And so he said he was talking with Patrick and Brittany, as one does.
Patrick and Brittany.
Johnson.
Okay.
Yes. And he said, hi, my name's Sterling Holmes. And he said, they go, no way, our daughter's Sterling. It's Sterling Mahomes. As if, like, people didn't already know that.
And Sterling said, I know, it ruined my life.
No, Sterling was like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, that's pretty, like, you know, and it's a little endearing, by the way.
It's great.
That the Mahomes are like, no way, we've got a daughter named, like, as if you would just randomly, you know, meet somebody like, dude, I've got a son named Everett. Your son's, oh, that's really cool. Our daughter's name's Sterling Mahomes, and you're Sterling Holmes.
Like, is he upset about it like Michael Bolton in Office Space?
just
I was fine until that no-talent ass cloud came around.
Became famous, started winning Grammys. You can just call me Mike.
If I talk to Mahomes today, I'm going to tell him my name is Bronze Briscoe.
Bronze Holmes is what you should go by. My name is actually Patrick Holmes. It's weird, with an L, just like the street. It's,
my name
it's
is... odd. Patrick Mahouses.
Would you believe Brittany Holmes? It's named after my mom, Brittany.
Hi, my name is Showtime.
So that's going on tonight?
That's tonight.
there's something every night. And so we were talking about it yesterday out of practice. Like, this is the first time the Chiefs have had the Super Bowl tour and
felt
the Super Bowl hangover. They didn't have it because of COVID after Super Bowl 54. There is something every night somewhere that some of them are doing.
Yeah.
And, like, I can see how it gets, like, exhausting. You can't turn the page, mm-hmm. right, to the next season. It's still going. I mean, you take it, right? But, see, it's hard to repeat.
Could you hold your own out there, Josh, if you were invited to play softball with the fellas?
I think professional
athletes?
I could track a softball if it's hit high and very near where I started from. Like, I think I would be able to catch it out of the sky.
Oh, yeah.
But that's
slow pitch softball, right?
Pretty much what I'm.
Plus, you're also talking about football athletes. You're not going up against, like, you know, the Royals had the fun little game with their dads that are there. But
I think Kadarius Toney's going to be faster than me, kind of regardless of what sport we're playing. So
maybe.
I'm not going to get too big for my britches.
You got to get in a certain mindset to play slow pitch softball. I've seen really good baseball players struggle at it because there's three rules. You got to wait, and at the end of that, you got to wait some more. Don't start that swing too early. Wait.
Gotta wait. Keep that weight back. Mm-hmm. You got to wait with your weight.
Don't sway.
That's right. Matt Quatrero weighed in on Wednesday. The Royals back in action. They take on the Baltimore Orioles. No word yet on if anything will be delayed or canceled or anything with the wildfires that have made their way south. But here's Matt Quatrero on Wednesday with the defensive miscues that took place, talking a little bit about that. But, you know, while it is a rough season and there's not much to choose from, it is a curious quote considering the defense they were in. Take a listen.
It's focus. It's concentration. It's, you know, doing the little things consistently to just take the out when given the out or keep the double play in order, those kinds of things. Usually just comes down to focus.
What was your vantage point on the fielder's choice there, Bobby, kind of doing it third when you had a chance to get out at first?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, I mean, it's infield in, nobody out. Rarely do guys go on contact with nobody out. So it's take the out and we move on.
I feel like that is very contradictory of we're going to move the infield in. We're bringing the infield in. Because we don't want the guy on third to score. But Bobby, just take the out. Don't worry about that guy at third. Then move your infield back. If you just want to take the out.
He's basing it off what the guy at third base is thinking, right?
Who took two steps towards home, which made Bobby then react towards third.
It was the wrong play. You got to go to first.
I don't disagree that it was the wrong play. But I also feel like for the manager just to go, well, you got to take the out there. Then don't bring your infield in if you're only worried about getting it out in the fifth inning. Put your infield back and turn two. Turn the double play.
No, he means take the out and not let him score.
But
the guy wasn't going to score and he thrown to first. You look him back, you throw to first.
Right, but when he looked at him, Wendell had already taken two steps off third. That's when he started to run at him. It was a mistake. If he looks at him and pauses, if Bobby Witt was more towards short and looked at him and he paused, he'd probably go to first, but his momentum was already going towards
third. I don't think
third.
Q was saying, you got to take the out there and give up the run. I don't think he's saying that there.
But it is interesting.
I think he's saying, go get that out at first base.
Well, yes.
That guy ain't going to score.
Right, and I think he's saying that, well, the contact play wasn't on, which is true because he didn't just turn his head and run, but he did take steps towards home, which then adjusted Bobby Witt in what he was doing. I agree it's the wrong play, but I'm not really in agreement with the out was there, just take the out. Well, also, don't bring your infield in the fifth inning. I mean,
Have you seen their offense?
I don't disagree, but you can't complain about a misplay on a guy trying to get somebody out at third when you're bringing your infield in specifically because you don't want that guy to score.
Yeah.
Because it's dumb to bring your infield in the fifth inning anyway.
Yeah, again, have you seen the offense? And I mean, he's answered a question there too.
I
wouldn't classify that as complaining, right? But
yeah,
I mean,
Bobby Witt would tell you he should have gone to first.
Everybody watching would tell you he should have gone to first. Right? You look at Hosmer, look Hosmer back. You throw
to first.
What can go wrong?
Yes.
What can go wrong after that? You looked him back to third.
David Wright, just take the out at
Although,
first.
That is very different because there was nobody covering third base where Hosmer didn't have to get back, so he could keep those two steps.
Yeah, that is true. I think the misjudgment by Bobby Witt was how close Wendell was to getting back to third.
Yes.
And but yes, you look at him, he stopped running, you can go to first, you got to have the awareness of how quickly he can get there.
You got to throw, you got to catch, you got to place tag.
Yeah, for sure. But if we just want to get the out, then just turn two.
You got first and third. They still would have lost. How about that?
Agreed.
All right.
But you got first.
We are nitpicking. We're picking up peanut wrappers as the plane's going down. Okay.
Maybe it's because at the time I'm like, why do you have the infield in? All right. I know the offense sucks, but why do you have the infield in here in the fifth inning? And then him go, well, you should have just taken the out. Yeah.
Is there one out at the time or a zero?
You just take the out. Yeah. Turn two. How about that? All right. We will take a timeout. And we'll come back, and we'll get the cuts coming up next. And we also want to raise the roof. Who's going to raise the roof, Josh? You?
Me and Sterling are going to be raising the roof starting at 6 tonight.
Christian Braun?
I also...
What about Brown?
I also...
Ooh, I don't know.
I kind of think Miami gets the win. So I'm going to say the Heat raise the roof.
You're the first person to pick Miami in any series, in any game this postseason.
Tonight. I'm going to pick them just tonight. I think the Nuggets win the series, but maybe I'm just sort of rooting for that series to keep going on. But that's who I think is going to raise the roof. Brought to you by Shamrock Roofing and Construction, Kansas City's local residential and commercial roofing contractors. One call does it all. The Heat are raising the roof, more importantly, and first, me and Sterling raise the roof from MVS's charity softball game starting at 6 o'clock. That's brought to you by Shamrock Roofing and Construction. One call does it all.
Quick as we go to break, some NFL news in case people didn't hear. DeAndre Hopkins is now taking a visit to the New England Patriots along with the Tennessee Titans. Which would be huge for the Patriots because right now they're the fourth best team in the East. And if they get Hopkins, they'd be the fourth best team in the East. So that's good for them. All right, wrapping up this week in the Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, and Drake McShaffer hanging out with us, KSHB 41 Sports Director. And we're all looking forward to next week when Josh will actually have to work a full week. So
I'm making up for it. I'll be out at MVS's charity game 6 to 7:30. Me and Stu tonight, everybody.
Yeah, so 3 weeks of vacation. You'll make up for it by an hour and a half of work tonight.
That's about how much I usually talk 3 weeks on the show.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any other big moments coming up? You need to take 17 days off? You go to the dentist or something like that?
Got a birthday coming up or something?
I'm going to get my wisdom teeth out at some point, so that's another one I've got just
sort of
baked in.
You might
want
to save that to 24, because I talked to Chad. You got no PTO days left.
Yeah, no, I figured.
In fact, you actually owe from next year.
That's fine. Hoping I can pay with my teeth.
Next year, you have to work 16-hour days every day.
That's right, yes. You're going to do 4 shows a day. Good for you. I'm looking forward to it. All right, let's get the cuts before we wrap things up here on this Friday edition in the Zone. Drake, take it away. What happened this week?
Okay, but you can play that with one hand, though, right? You got like a, you can just joystick it.
Oh, that's what happened this week, apparently.
Oh, what are you talking? It's not what
it
I think
you're
like
talking
about.
Must be like a video game or something.
It's just about wieners.
And then they both started sucking. Only one was good at sucking, and the other one has failed.
The other did
at sucking. I really want to know what Mick was going to weigh in there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I bet the point sucked, so we cut it off.
That's fine. I'll just ignore it because I know it's probably
you
not
ignore
important.
My calls and texts anyway.
Well, do you?
Don't ignore
You're
them.
Not a courteous texter.
I have a problem. I have a real problem.
With what?
With the whole texting.
You're busy cutting your hair?
Yes. No, my problem is, and I talked with Lebo there, I'm self-aware of it, okay? I know I have a problem. Okay. What I do is if I check it and I'm like doing something else, in my mind,
I'll get back to that.
No, but in my mind, I've responded. Like, I responded like, oh, yeah, no, we could definitely do that. Let me just finish this up.
My
and
wife has conversations in her head all the time. I'm like, you didn't tell me that. I absolutely did. No, you didn't.
Yeah. So the text, I said to Lebo yesterday, I had a text that was ready to be sent for 4 hours to Sandy. And I went and checked. I'm like, oh, send. I'm terrible with it. I wish I was better. That would be my one wish in the world, is for unlimited wishes. And then one of those would be to be better at that.
Jerick.
I went with 69.
Nice. There's no way marriage gets harder than planning a wedding and then going on an international honeymoon. I think we've done it. Anything else?
Yeah, kids. Yeah, kids. Probably have kids.
Just don't. What if we don't do that?
Do you fine.
Yeah. All right. Hell yeah.
Is that in stereo?
That's so good.
We've heard his platform before. You have to fight for your right to party.
My fellow Americans, you have to fight for your right to party.
Your mom, she's crazy.
Yeah. I think it was breaking news to
me.
I had
a lot of other comments about your mom.
Yeah, it didn't make it. You ever see a French businessman in a suit walking with conviction, briefly pausing to take a fat rip off a Transformer dong? Spectacular. Blow cotton, Mia Moore.
Blow cotton? What is my love?
Yeah.
Blow cotton, my love.
French. We're going fishing, so maybe my phone will work, maybe it won't.
Tell you how excited I am to find out Lebo got a call I didn't.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Great.
Very nice. Yeah. I
Whoa, what happened there?
Very nice. Guys, I've been on call 24 hours a day for 15 years.
That is true.
And when I find out that someone else got the call.
Yeah. That is that is
what happens.
Well, evidently I'm going to have to call myself because this isn't fair.
somebody call Lebo.
Tennis match, golf tournament silence.
Anticipation to see what.
Oh, goodness! That ball had a family! In game two, his first home run! A two-run bomb! The hardest hit ball by a Red this year. That was nearly 115. It brought everyone to their feet.
Ellie Dela Cruz in his first. Sorry about that. Ellie Dela Cruz in his first home run. That ball had a family. Is a pretty phenomenal good. Call.
I'm up to here with people like Kent Swanson, Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, the worst.
What? Come on, priorities, guys.
Seriously.
Priority.
Yeah, irresponsible people. Kent Swanson he's supposed to be on this week. Went to Hawaii.
I just like being in the same sentence as Kent.
You both suck.
I'm being the same state as him right now.
I'm not taking anybody lightly nowadays.
So it's a good lesson for you never to
don't. It's pickleball. Like you can be. You should see the people I lose to sometimes. It's like,
well, let's hear that. Like,
I mean, it's hard to describe. Like, they're people that kind of look like Nate.
What the hell does that mean?
People that look like Nate. Like, imagine me and Noah, and then like we look on the other side. It's Nate and Marco. Like, who do you think's gonna win?
Well, now I don't know.
This? What did I
now
do?
I don't know.
Yeah, Marco hasn't done anything.
You're just staring at me, buddy. Like, you're freaking me out.
You're freaking me out.
Is that Garrett?
Yeah, Garrett. At least you see the people I lose to in pickleball. They look like Nate.
That's great.
Oh, that is
We've
real
heard
quick.
His platform before. You have to fight for your right to party.
Did you hear the, it wasn't a bit?
Yes, it was.
It wasn't a bit. Travis said it wasn't a bit. Travis
He's wrong. Everybody else at the Chiefs yesterday was talking about how they practiced it.
Oh, I didn't know.
They had to get clearance with the Secret Service and all that stuff.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't hear
it. They practiced it. They had a run through.
Twice.
Yeah, no, that was a bit.
Masters.
When were they talking about that?
At Chiefs. It might have been off mic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You probably listened to every word of it. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
No, it was.
But they forgot to hit send on that text.
It did.
I hate when that happens. Like, be considerate.
I'm so glad that I can say things that Briscoe keeps adding in the cuts.
Hey.
And, you know, that I
was just writing down the timestamp of that one, actually.
Yes,
Les, 12:39. Yeah. I have it written down here.
He did write that
Absolutely.
Down.
Absolutely.
You do you do make sure that anything Les says.
I really he's just had a couple real bangers. Edward Olivares just got placed on the restricted list. Nate Eaton back up.
What's he restricted for?
It just says placed on the restricted
list.
What's
a restricted list?
Well, my buddy who grew up in North Carolina, when he moved to Missouri, whenever he was grounded, he would say he was on restriction. So is Edward Olivares grounded for the error in left field?
I have a restraining order. Is it the same as that?
He's restricted from playing the outfield. So Nate Eaton is coming up to play the outfield. Edward Olivares is allowed to play DH.
Seeing some stuff from like 10 years ago talking about it being sort of an unavailable list of some sort, an absence perhaps. So
in the outfield.
Brand new from the Royals. We'll see what that ends up being.
In the outfield though, right? Now, when he went to this list,
He's
did he take like
from scoring all year.
Seven different routes to get there?
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.